Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Hey, good to see everybody. Can you believe that a week ago we had to cancel because of ice forecast? And then it's, you know, since then we've hit 70 and hopefully the ice is gone. Amen. Amen. I think a few of you still want it, but the rest of us, we're saying amen. Well, as Pastor Don mentioned tonight, we're going to start a mini-series on the body of Christ. And it's very fascinating as we look at how the Scripture presents the body and these essential connections that we make within the body and how much that ties into our mission here at Central Assembly. And we know that our mission, it comes from Scripture. It's not the other way around. You know, it's not like Paul looked at our mission statement and thought we were onto something and so wrote these illustrations. No, what we want to do here at Central is connect others to God, to other people, and to their purpose in life. And before we can help others make those connections, we have to make sure that those connections are strong ourselves. And that's where it comes into being, living out, being part of the body of Christ. And as we look at the Scriptures and see the way that Paul describes how this body works, we see all of those connections in play. We see that we have to be connected as members of the body. We have to be connected to the head, and that's Jesus Christ. And we also, as members, have to be connected to one another so that the body functions as it's supposed to. The parts of the body can't fight against one another, so we have that connection to others. And not only that, each member, each part of the body has a function that it is designed, that it is put in a specific place to accomplish. And we see that reflected in our need to connect a purpose. So we're going to talk about each one of those elements over the next couple of weeks, starting tonight. And tonight we're going to begin with that first, most important, most vital, most fundamental connection. And that's our connection to the head. Now, the richness of this imagery where Paul says the body of Christ, and he is talking about the church when he says that. And there's a richness here that helps us understand how, as individual members of the church, we relate to Jesus Christ, as well as how we relate to others, and how we can go about fulfilling our God-given purpose with confidence and faithfulness in the calling that He's placed on our lives. So I want to explore this imagery a little bit. Now, we know that in the human body, it's made up of various parts, but also various systems. And each of those systems has a different desired outcome that it's trying to accomplish, that the members are working together to produce. And each part within the body, within those systems, it has its own function that it's working towards. And whenever all of those things are working as they should, every other part benefits. When our respiratory system is functioning as it should, all of our cells are being enriched with oxygen, and they're able to get rid of the wasteful carbon dioxide and other things. So that's just to give one example. We don't need a biology lesson or anything like that here. But we see how just the systems working as they're meant to work, as God designed them to work, when that is taking place, every part of the body benefits. Every part is enriched. Every part is built up. And that's precisely why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to use this kind of imagery to talk about the church and the way that the church is meant to function. And the whole thing, all of these systems, all of these different parts, they're all regulated and they're all kept in order by our brains, by the head. That's why it's vital that there's this connection between every individual part and the head. So as I mentioned, tonight, we're going to begin looking at that first connection. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at Paul's teachings about the body in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look in Colossians chapters 1 and 2, and we're going to look at Ephesians chapters 1 and 4. And we have other types of connections here tonight as well. Our cellular connections are working quite well, but that's all right. So we're going to look at these different portions of Scripture and see how the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to talk about how the church is designed to work. And it begins tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 27, he says, "Now you, plural, you are the body of Christ, and each of you, singular, is a part of it. You, plural, together are the body of Christ, and each one of you," that he's addressing, "each one of you who are believers in Jesus, who have new life in Christ, each one of you is a part of that body." In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "is the head of the body, which is the church." So now we know the church is the body, and we know that Jesus is the head. And then we're going to jump over in Ephesians chapter 14, verse 15, or chapter 4, verse 15. Paul says this, that we, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So as we operate, as we walk in truth, as we walk in love, as we reinforce truth and love with one another, just like a healthy human body, the body of Christ will grow into maturity, into becoming who Jesus wants us to be. And that's how we have those connections. So we're going to explore each one of those. But before we go any further, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you have built us, positioned us, brought us together, made us into your body. Made us into the church to represent you here on this earth. And God, I pray that as we study the scriptures tonight, you would help these truths to come alive to us. Lord, let them enrich our faith. Let them enrich our relationships with one another. Help us, Lord, to get a deeper understanding of how important it is and what the nature of our connection with you is all about. Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time. Speak through me. Speak through your word. Let us hear what you want us to hear and shape us to become the people you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see from the beginning that we are the body of Christ and Jesus is the head. So what does it mean when we say that Jesus is the head? What is that saying? Well, I think first one of the meanings of this word head, it means that Jesus is our source. Jesus is our source. The Greek word that was used for head, kephale, it was also used in the Greek language to talk about the source of a river. We actually kind of use the same terminology. We talk about the headwaters of a river where everything comes out of, the way that river begins, the source that it flows from. And that's a fitting illustration of how Jesus is our head because he is the source of life. Going back to that passage in Colossians, we read one verse earlier, but I'm going to read a few more starting in verse 15. Paul says that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things on heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. This is saying so much in this little passage. But what Paul's hinting at or really getting at is that Jesus is the ultimate source of all life, that he is the one who is active and all that is made. He is God, and he was active in creating everything that exists. And in that way, he serves as our source of life. He is the origin of our physical lives. But in addition to that, he's the ongoing, continuous source of our new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. There is new life that has come and that begins to well out, well up within that person. The old has passed away and the new has come. But that new life is dependent upon being in Christ. See, there's this ongoing connection that has to be maintained in order for the life that God gives us to keep flowing into our hearts and to keep flowing through us. We have to remain in Christ, and the Holy Spirit has to remain inside of us. There's this mutual living together that Jesus also referred to as this mutual abiding with one another. We are to live and walk in Him. And He will put His life, He will live and dwell within us. And the Holy Spirit is within us as well. Now, it's hard for me to kind of wrap my brain around how that works. It's like, how can I be in Christ if Christ is also in me? But that's the richness of this mutual abiding, of living together, walking together, being in one another's presence. Jesus giving us His presence within us and staying connected to Him. We have to stay connected to our source. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus, He describes Himself as the true vine. He's talking to His disciples. He says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches that go out and that are meant to bear fruit. And He uses this imagery again. He says, if you abide in me and I in you, so there's that mutual connection that's taking place, then if we abide together, then you will bear much fruit. So He's saying, as a branch, if you're disconnected from the source of life, well, you might bear fungus, but you're not going to bear fruit. Fruit only comes when there's life flowing to those branches. We have to stay connected to Jesus because He is our source of life. That's how He will produce that fruit in our lives. But not only is He the source of life, Scripture also tells us that He is our source of growth. In Ephesians 4, we read verse 15 earlier, but verse 16 goes on to say, from Him, from Jesus, the head, the whole body, as it's joined and held together by every supporting ligament, from Him, the whole body grows, and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I already mentioned how systems, as they function as they're supposed to, every part benefits, every part is built up, every part is made stronger. But that can only happen, that proper working, that growth can only come about as we stay connected to Jesus. He is the source of life for us. He is the source of our growth. The passage we read from Colossians says that not only that, He holds all things together. He keeps creation from falling apart, from descending into chaos and into disorder. And when living things are held together, when living things are functioning as they're designed to, when living things are healthy, they grow. Growth takes place. And that growth comes in many ways, you know. We know it's natural for healthy living things to grow in size. None of us are the same size that we were when we were 5 years old. You know, we continued growing. Living things grow in strength. They are better able to meet the demands of their environment, the things that are placed on their task lists. They grow in strength and capability. Living things also grow by multiplication. When things are healthy, they multiply, they reproduce, they spread throughout. So there's a growth in numbers that takes place. All of these are indicators of health. And we also see that when living things are healthy, they grow into their purpose. They grow into their potential. for the body of Christ, that growth only comes when we are connected together to Jesus. He is the one who causes us to grow into that maturity so that we can begin to fulfill all the things that he has created us to fulfill, so that we can begin to realize all of the potential that he designed in us when he put us on this earth. And that applies to us collectively as the body, working together, growing together. He makes us grow as a group, as the church, and he makes us grow individually, that each one of us will fulfill our part, the function that he has put us here to accomplish. And we're going to talk more about those connections in the weeks ahead. But what I want to get at tonight is that those only work when we're all connected to the head. Each one of us has to have that connection. Ephesians 4:15 that we read says that we grow in every way into him who is the head. Another version puts it this way: God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything that we do. So the goal of our growth, the thing that we're growing towards, is to be more like Jesus. Well, it only makes sense, right? We're the church. We're his body. We're his representatives here on earth. Of course, our goal is to grow to be more like him, to be better representations of him, to reflect his character, his nature, his truth, and his love to the world around us. But as we look at that, this brings us to another meaning of the word head. We've seen that Jesus is our source. He's the source of life. He's the source of new life as we're connected to him. And he's the source for this ongoing growth that continues to take place. But when we say that Jesus is our head, we're also saying that he is our Lord. He is our authority. He is our master. If we're saying that we are the body and he is the head, then that means we're going to do what he tells us to do. We're going to function in the way that he wants us to. We can't represent him if we're not doing what he tells us. We have to commit ourselves to do what he says. The body does what the head tells it to. And this is an image that we actually use on a regular basis. You know, even today we talk about how a person will be the head of an organization, or the head of a business, the head of a hospital, the head of a school, or the head of heads of state. We use that term constantly. And we're talking about those who are in positions both of authority and of ultimate responsibility. They're the ones who are supposed to be setting the direction, giving instructions for all of those who are parts of those organizations. They're the ones who set the course and then bring everyone else along. So it's not a foreign concept for us. We still use that kind of terminology. And we know that in the church and as members of the church, Jesus is our head, our Lord, our authority, our master. We have to do what he tells us to do. And not just the body as a whole, but each individual part. Now, how many of you guys enjoyed watching the Olympics over this month? I enjoyed it. I know Ben, he was posting stuff on Facebook. I was like, I saw that too. But yeah, it's great. It's a wonderful time. I really get into the Olympics, and I don't know why, because like I don't care about any of the sports any of the rest of the time of the year, or the rest of the time, the years in between. Like, I don't go home and watch like snow skiing. I don't even know if you can do that. My wife loves figure skating, all right? So I know that they like show that, you know, at different times throughout the year, and she'll watch that and have it on, and I'll listen to the music as I'm reading something else. And I just have her let me know whenever somebody falls, because I want to see that. But because that makes me feel like, okay, I can do this. I can fall down on ice. But, you know, she loves figure skating, but most of the time I don't really watch these kinds of games. I don't watch these kinds of sports, but I can't help but be impressed by these athletes. You know, they've trained themselves. They've trained their whole bodies to respond to everything that their brain tells it to do. Like you think of these downhill skiers, you know, they're not just kind of putting themselves along. You know, they're hitting some pretty incredible speeds. And it's not just that they're staying balanced, which I think, you know, by itself, that deserves a gold medal. But they're you know, going down these hills, they're constantly aware of the course, changing direction, going in between the gates, making sure they don't get disqualified, staying upright as they do this. And not only that, they have such control over every part of their body that they know how to make themselves the most aerodynamic that they can be so that they could be 1/100th of a second faster than everyone else. They have complete awareness and control over what every part of their body is doing. And these figure skaters, as they're moving across the ice at great speeds, you know, moving their arms and their legs very gracefully, which is extremely unlike the way that my arms flailed around as I tried to walk across a parking lot 3 weeks ago when we had our first ice storm. You know, I have so much respect for these guys. And they control their movements with such grace and precision, maintaining their balance, and then throwing themselves 2 or 3 feet in the air, spinning around so fast that they should be so dizzy when they land, and then just taking off like nothing happened. It's impressive to watch. And you know what? I can relate to these guys. Because just a couple of weeks ago, two Mondays ago, our friends from Missouri State, the Chi Alpha group, they used the Fusion Center for a dodgeball night, all right? And I didn't play dodgeball. I didn't want to give any team an unfair advantage. I meant the team that would be our opponent. I didn't want to give them an unfair advantage against my team. But after the dodgeball games, a bunch of the students were playing basketball there in the gym, and they asked me if I wanted to join them. And I was like, yeah, you know, that sounds like fun. So I went out, we played 21 for a while, and I gotta say, I know exactly how it feels. I know exactly how frustrating it feels when a part of your body will not do what your brain tells it to do. Because my eyes would see the ball coming down off the backboard, and my brain would register that vision and say to my legs, hey guys, it's time to jump. We got to get this ball. We got to win this game. Jump. And my brain says, jump. And my legs say, sorry, what? What is this you're asking us to do? And my brain's like, come on, dribble. And my hands are like, yeah, we don't do that anymore. We retired a decade and a half ago. And my brain was very willing to play the game, but the rest of my body parts were not having it. And so it makes me appreciate those Olympic athletes so much more than I have before now. So I came face to face with how frustrating, how debilitating, how painful it can be when a part of the body is not doing what the head is telling it to do. Let's not be those body parts in the body of Christ. Let's have that connection to the head. Let's have it strong and vibrant. Let's train ourselves how to hear what Jesus is telling us. Let's train ourselves how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And let's pray for wisdom and sensitivity and discernment so that we can say, Jesus, help us to know when you're speaking to us. Help us to hear you so that we can discern what it is you want us to do. And Lord, give us the courage that we need to do it. We've got to have that constant connection. We've got to be listening to hear what he wants to say. We need to be parts of the body that are doing what the head tells us to, because he is our Lord. If we don't, well, we become a liability. We lose out on helping to build up the rest of the body. And there's even warnings that Paul gives about what happens whenever a part becomes disconnected from the head. We've read from Colossians 1, but in Colossians 2, verse 18, he gives this warning to the church there in Colossae. He says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you." And that means lead you away from your faith. Such a person, they go into great detail about things, visions that they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions of their own fantasies, by their unspiritual the head, from whom the whole body causes it to grow. So we see the positive here. Once again, growth, it comes from God. It can only come from him. He is the source of life and growth, and he is the source of us staying committed and connected to the truth that is in his word. Those who become disconnected from Christ, well, in this situation, they ended up becoming false teachers. Because when they weren't connected to the head, they had to connect to something else. Instead of connecting to the truth of God, they exchanged that connection for a lie, something that they invented for themselves. Each one of us has to stay connected to Jesus. It's not enough to be connected to a church. Now, having that connection to one another, that is necessary, but it's not sufficient by itself. Each one of us has to have that connection. Each one of us personally has to make the confession, Jesus is Lord. If he is our head, he is our Lord. And not just Lord over creation, although he certainly is Lord over creation. And not just Lord over the church, although he certainly is Lord over the church. He's the head of the church. We have to confess him as our Lord. I have to confess that he is the Lord over me. I have to commit to obey his commands because I belong to him. Each one of us has to maintain that crucial, foundational connection to Jesus. And that means spending time in his presence through worship, through prayer, through reading and meditating or memorizing the word of God in the scriptures. It means doing the things that he tells us to do and learning how to hear his voice more and more clearly. His teachings in scripture, acting and living those out, following the prompts of the Holy Spirit as we go through our daily lives. And it does mean being connected to the rest of the body. The other connections that we'll talk about in the next couple of weeks, those are crucial, those are vital, but none of them by themselves is sufficient. And we have to maintain our connection to the head. We can't rely on someone else to do that for us. We can't rely on someone else to be the voice of Jesus in our lives. We can't just go to them and say, all right, you tell me what you think God wants me to do. Yeah. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we get that type of correction and shaping and growth from one another, but that can't be our default. These connections, our connection to Christ, the head of his church, that's the most important. That's where everything else begins. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We have to be in him before we can connect to the rest of the body. Next week, we're going to pick up here, and we're going to start looking at what those other connections outward begin to look like. But for now, I just want us to focus on understanding, praying about what it means to connect to Jesus as my source, my Lord, your source, your Lord, the one who brings you life, the one who renews your life, the one who brings you growth, the one who builds you up into Christ's likeness, the one who is your master, who bought his life by laying his own life down.